Hi, men. I'm Jonathan Daugherty, author of Grace-Based Recovery, and I'd love for you to join us in one of our upcoming online study groups. These eight-week groups take you through all the key principles of recovery from the Grace-Based Recovery book in a small group setting with other men on the same journey. The format is really simple and secure. We keep the groups to 10 men max, and we meet online in a private video room, so your story is safe with us. These groups are led by men who have traveled this road themselves and know firsthand how grace is the true engine of recovery and life transformation. I encourage you to take your next best step to freedom, joy, and peace. Register now for the next Grace-Based Recovery Group. We can't wait to connect with you. To register, go to bebroken.org/GBR. That's bebroken.org/GBR, or you can call us at 210-822-8201. Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the PSR Podcast. Just as a reminder, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help men, women, and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In today's episode, I'm excited to have back with us Carla Downing for an insightful conversation about healing relationships. Together, we dive into practical ways that couples can improve communication, rebuild intimacy, and navigate challenges like addiction and dysfunctional patterns. Carla shares some wisdom on speaking the truth in love, managing emotions, and fostering empathy and curiosity. We discuss the importance of patience, seeking outside support, and grounding our efforts in grace and compassion. So whether you're facing tough seasons or just want to grow closer, this episode offers hope, encouragement, and actionable steps for building a healthier, more connected relationship. To learn more about Carla and her resources, just visit changemyrelationship.com. For additional resources, you can visit our website at bebroken.org or go to the show notes and check out all the links that we're going to put there. Also, friends, as always, we want to invite you to rate and review the podcast to help others find it. Now, let's go ahead and dive into today's insightful and practical conversation for couples. Well, all right, we have back with us Carla Downing. So, Carla, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Jonathan. I love getting your email with the invite.
I feel like we're at a pretty good rhythm of having you on pretty regularly, and we get a lot of great feedback from yours. I think I've mentioned this to you before, because you're a person that wants to get into this stuff where let's actually roll up our sleeves. Let's get some practical advice. Let's not keep everything at 30,000 feet in terms of just these theoretical, philosophical conversations. And you like to get into the dirt, so to speak. So I think that's what our listeners really appreciate about you. Before we actually dive into our topic, maybe for some of our newer listeners, or even just some of our listeners that have heard you before, is there anything new that's been going on with you and with your work, or anything that's just been maybe popping up a lot recently in terms of your work? And by the way, just to let our listeners and viewers know, it's changemyrelationship.com is where you can get all of Carla's info and resources. But anything going on lately that you'd want to share?
Yeah, I don't know. Other than the fact that I've been incredibly busy and navigating the sale of our business and trying to transition to the new owner and figuring out how retirement works, I have so many things that I'd like to do. I'm like, Lord, time. I want the time. So I'm trying to navigate that. I've got another book I want to write. And, you know, that takes a lot of time. It's just, you know, it's always a reminder in doing this, the complexity of these relationships that are struggling, not just with addiction, but with dysfunctional dynamics. I can say that it almost seems like the intensity and of the problems that people are bringing to me is just, it's deep and it's heavy.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're seeing that too, but I kind of feel like, wow.
We are seeing a lot of that. And you know what, my own little, I don't have any hard research to back this up, but just being in this space for decades now, I feel like a lot of it has to do with we're in a season in history,
yes,
that we have access to so much information all the time that we don't realize the weight that that starts to carry on our individual lives, on our relationships. We have too much in our heads. There's too much that we have access to.
Yeah.
I think that's why there's a lot more of that intensity than the relational struggles, is because we're just bombarded all the time with information.
Not only just with our personal stuff, but with the world. It's like we are aware of what's going on, you know, and it's very hard to tune it out. So there is a lot going on. We have a lot of worries about our children, a lot of complexities and navigating having any the worries about, I've got grandkids. I worry about my grandkids and my own kids, my own adult children, you know, and elder. I have elderly parents too. So it's just, it's kind of like that pressure that we feel from all sides, no matter what season we're in.
That's true. And you mentioned it right at the beginning, and this is going to maybe dovetail us into our conversation today. The key component that we all struggle with is the reality that everything that we're facing happens in time. There's a time element to all of this. And so even sometimes just navigating and managing time is really a key factor to whether or not we are going to handle these relational issues well, or whether or not we're going to handle our personal issues well, is will we take the time that's necessary for those events and those situations?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say just the time in terms of be patient. This is going to take a long time to work through and heal. Although the intensity is now. Tell me the answer. Fix it. Let me know if this is going to be okay. And you can't push that. It just takes time to heal. And also, like you said, the time to invest in the relationship.
Yeah. So we are going to be talking to couples out there, and we're going to hopefully be giving really good information for both a husband and a wife, because the topic is really about speaking the truth in love. How do you tell the truth? How do you speak the truth in a way that is also still housed in the relational component of we're for this relationship? There's the love is kind of the underpinning aspect. But before we get into the specifics of that topic, I have kind of a question that's easy to sort of jump over. We almost make assumptions about it when it comes to relationships. And the question is simply this: why is communication important? And what is its role in building intimacy in a relationship? It's easy to just jump right over that, right? We just think, we take for granted that we know communication is vital to a relationship, but why? And what is its role really?
Well, I mean, and first thing that jumps to my mind is the scriptures in Proverbs, and I can't think of the exact wording, but it's basically, you know, the words have the power of life and death. And so it's like your words carry so much weight. They're so critical to the relationship. It's you expressing who you are and what is going on with you. And then it's being able to listen to your partner and find out what is going on with that partner. And recognizing when you ask about intimacy, communication when it is done wrong kills intimacy, and communication when it is done right builds intimacy. Why? It's the word intimacy is into me see. I've heard it said. It's basically if you can express what is going on with you and your spouse can hear it and seek to understand it, that literally brings you closer. And if you can't, it pulls you apart.
Is it fair to say then that maybe the major goal or maybe the aim of communication is understanding?
Yes, absolutely. And when I tell couples that are locked into a kind of an argument and trying to get the other person attacking and demanding that the other person understand them and not taking the time to explain and not being able to slow down and listen, it can free them. When I say, look, the whole idea, here's the first mistake people make. I have got to make you agree with me. I have got to convince you of my truth. What happens from that? Reactivity, intensity, attacking. That underpinning is anxiety. We're going to talk about that in the next episode we do, is we're going to talk about how fear and anxiety play in the relationship dynamic and what to do about that. But basically trying to demand that the other person hear you, agree, it causes you to, I know for myself, I gave in long lectures and they weren't effective, because if my husband was not in the place where he wanted to hear me and understand, that was actually a waste of energy and also was harming the relationship. But the demand that you have to convince the other person can really cause a lot of problems. But if the other person is in a space of one, because we got really two couples that we're talking about here, we might be talking to a husband whose wife is like, I'm done. I don't care. And we might be talking to a wife whose husband is like, I'm okay, fine. I'm better. I don't need any help. Or we might be talking to those couples that are really digging in and saying, we're going to try to make this work. So we've kind of got, you know, different dynamics we could be talking about.
Yeah. One of the things I'm hearing you say is, in order for communication to really work well in a relationship, there does still have to be a baseline of mutual agreement that we're curious about one another. Like, we actually do want to understand what, because if there isn't an imbalance there, that's where things can go. One, you know, somebody's trying to make a presentation and basically sell you something. Another one's trying to manipulate. And so maybe we can just start there. How can a couple really reach that baseline of agreement of like, I actually am truly wanting to be curious about you?
Well, and the first thing I would say is, you know, when I have a talk that I give on 9 keys to successful conflict resolution, and the first one is basically keep your eye on the goal. What is the goal? If the goal is to heal our relationship, then when you are having a conversation, if you are talking to your spouse about something that's even very stressful, painful, you keep your eye on the goal. I want to heal. I want to understand. So you've got to come into that place, and it's empathy, recognizing. One of the things is, by being curious, it's like, I want to understand what happened. I want to understand the reason. I want to understand, for a lot of times with sexual addiction, we know what it is. It's childhood wounds. It's something possibly that started early. It's something that's going on in life. I want to understand why. I want to understand what. And that curiosity should or needs to make you able to sit and hear what's going on with the other person and manage your own reactivity. That's the hard part, is managing your own reactivity. And so you have to keep yourself on that focus of, I want to understand what happened. I want to understand why. I want to understand what's going on with you. Now, what we're passing over a little bit is, when trust has been broken, that's kind of difficult. So you've got to address that. And again, tell yourself, okay, I'm going to risk vulnerability and risk investing myself in this relationship again, because again, I want to heal the relationship. So there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. Now, I know that many of our listeners and viewers who are Christians will have already heard that phrase, speak the truth in love. Yes. And it comes out of Ephesians. And now one thing I want to make sure that we do is realize, you know, there was a particular context in which that was being shared, and it was really speaking of the truth of the gospel. And there's a sense in which, hey, we don't go down these rabbit trails of myth and all these types of things. We need to be able to speak the truth of the gospel to one another, but do that in a loving way. I feel like we're sort of superimposing that a little bit in a different context when we're talking about the couples that are dealing with the issues they need to navigate in communication. So I just want to let our listeners that are Christians know, we're not trying to create an equivalency between maybe the context of what that phrase came out of Scripture and what we're talking about. But I still think there's an application of what was said in the Scriptures there, of there is a truth that we need to speak, mm-hmm. but we need to speak it in a particular way. And right. So before we get to what is it that a couples need to speak to one another in the particular way, we talked a little bit about the baseline agreement of just, there needs to be a type of curiosity. What does it look like for couples to maybe start to gain the right attitude and maybe measure their own expectations of mm-hmm. what this kind of communication is all about?
Yeah. Well, when we talk about speaking the truth, there's two parts to that. There's truth. So we're going to say, what is your truth? And like you said, we're not talking about the truth of the gospel and the word of God. We're talking about what is going on with you, what happened with you, what you feel, what you think, what you need, what you believe. And there's a component of that too when we say speaking the truth in love. If you don't know your own truth, how can you speak your truth? So you have to make sure that, again, you're dealing with your own denial about yourself and what is going on with you in the present and past, maybe especially for the addict that contributed to the addiction. But so it's speaking the truth about yourself, knowing the truth about yourself. So you got to, there's another component, and that is be curious about yourself. You got to ask yourself, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling this way? What am I thinking? What's going on with me? Where am I at? So that implies a vulnerability with being able to look at yourself, and also then to share it, to share that truth about yourself, speaking the truth in love. I'm really struggling. I'm really in a painful place today, or I'm fearful about taking this next step. When we get into that level of vulnerability, we are going to build intimacy. But what happens instead is, you did this. You did this. You cheated on me. You lied to me. I don't think you're telling me the truth. It's the accusations. It's the attacking, and that will absolutely kill it. So you've got two choices. You can go very deep and speak the truth about yourself, and then you can take the vulnerability step of speaking the truth with your spouse, and the spouse also doing the same thing. I'm having a hard time hearing you. This is really painful for me. Or I've heard you. I understand what you're saying, but I'm struggling right now. Can we take a break from this conversation? So you hear that level of knowing your own truth and what's going on with you. That's something that takes a while to develop. So you've got to go really slow, but also obviously therapy and support for both.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit, because I love what you're saying there, but let's think about maybe even helping a couple maybe do a little bit of role playing here of like, okay, what does that look like in terms of how do I actually do that? Because you were kind of doing it, but let's explain it a little bit. And what I mean is, you were saying, hey, remember, you're communicating about yourself. So even as you're listening to your spouse, your response, rather than being, but you did this and you did that and you... It's like, okay, what am I feeling? How do I actually get curious about myself and speak what's going on? Because that is actually a loving thing to do. So for instance, if I'm a wife that's been betrayed, and then all of a sudden I'm hearing my husband and I'm getting triggered of like, I don't think that's the truth. I think I have serious doubts. I'm angry right now. Instead of making all the accusatory statements, what does it look like to say, you know what, I'm really feeling heightened right now. I feel, maybe more I feel statements. Can you talk about how both spouses can really do this well just on being able to recognize what's going on in themselves?
Yes. And again, this takes emotional intelligence, emotional maturity, being aware of what you're feeling, being able to label it, and then being able to manage it and not like use it as an attack out of fear or out of anger. So what I say is, we've heard I statements like, okay, you're supposed to say I instead of you. So instead of you are lying, I'm having trouble trusting. I'm having trouble believing you. I want to believe you. I go a step further and I say, when you are talking about yourself, think of it in terms of owning it, like not making it your spouse's responsibility, but you owning your feeling, your thought, your place. Yes. Did your spouse contribute to you being there? Absolutely. But it's still yours. How you're reacting, how you're feeling, you have to basically own the problem. I'm having a hard time believing you. I'm not your lying. It's your situation. I'm struggling with my fear. I'm worried about what's going to happen to us. It's the owning the problem and making it yours. And then the spouse has to manage your own reactivity instead of saying, if a wife was to say, I'm having trouble trusting you, what's happening in the husband? He's feeling fear. He's feeling like all of that stuff. He's got to manage that too. And he has to say, I'm struggling, instead of you're making me feel you're attacking me, you're making me feel bad, you're trying to shove it down my throat, right? That's all reactivity, that's all attacking. Instead, it's hard for me to hear that. I'm having a hard time hearing it. I love you, and it's hard for me to watch you be in that place. I want you to be able to trust me, but I understand. So it's all I. Now, does that mean you can never say you? No, of course you can't. Everything you communicate can't be an I, but when you're trying to communicate to understand each other, to be curious about the other, to move, think of it in terms of a board game. You know, you're playing Monopoly, you want to get back there to you want to go all the way around and get what you need, right? Or any game, you want to get back to finish. Every time that you're honest and you are vulnerable, you are moving your relationship one step further toward your goal, which is getting to that place of healing and restoration. But it has to be, can't be attacking. It has to be with, like you said, speaking the truth. Although there are times that you know that it's better not to speak. That takes a lot of maturity too, and a lot of wisdom. Sometimes it's not the time for a conversation. Sometimes, you know, you can tell with your spouse or with yourself, I'm not there. I can't handle this right now. Or I've gone as far as I can. Can we agree to continue this conversation later?
Yeah. And I love the fact that you brought it back around to, okay, what is the actual goal? We're obviously talking to couples here who also have at least reached some kind of baseline of, we're wanting to work on the relationship. We may not know what that looks like, but both of us have at least agreed to that point of, we'd like to see this relationship continue. And I think it is important, even maybe when you're having those conversations and heightened emotions come up, that you're reminding yourself and maybe even being able to interject it in a loving way into the conversation. Okay, how does this move us toward healing? How does this move us toward our goal? And how can we do that together? Now, what happens? What are some of the major missteps or obstacles to couples really learning how to do this well?
Well, obviously, we talked a couple of them, not knowing your own truth. How can you talk about your truth if you don't know your truth? Defensiveness is too hard for me, too painful for me to hear my truth. Reactivity, which is reacting out of your own emotions and not kind of stepping back and detaching yourself from your reaction, not your feelings, but from your reaction. So you want to recognize and identify your feelings, but you want to be able to manage that reactivity, which is that emotion that would cause you to attack, that would cause you to be incredibly intense, demand that the other person hear you, agree with you. All of those are probably the major hurdles. We said speaking too much in an effort to convince is one that I see commonly, or fearful and not being of hurting the other person and not speaking your truth because you're afraid that it's going to cause pain. And you want to balance that. You don't want to say something on purpose to hurt your spouse. But on the other hand, that speaking that truth in love means that sometimes that truth will be painful. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't say it. It's that you need to speak it in love rather than attacking.
Mm-hmm. How important is, because a lot of what I'm hearing you say is, these are not skills that typically just come supernaturally to people, you know, and they're not even gendered necessarily. Like a lot of times we like to say, oh, women are way better at, you know, communicating all this. Like, well, maybe about certain things, but a lot of what you're talking about here is in trying to build and really rebuild intimacy where there has been a lot of brokenness. How important is it that there be additional outside help for a couple while they're traveling through this season?
Critical. It's absolutely critical because, again, we have probably, especially if it's recently that the addiction and betrayal has been discovered, then there's going to be a huge amount of reactivity on both sides. And so we've got multiple layers. We've got, you know, support for yourself, like in a 12-step group or supportive group, like you have it Be Broken for both wives and husbands. And then we have, at the right time, marriage counseling, and then we have individual counseling. So I would say getting at the very, very beginning, getting individual counseling is really helpful because that's where you know your own truth and you know what's going on with you and you learn about the dynamics of the problem, the dynamics of what happens with a spouse who discovers betrayal and the other person when they first, you know, when they're going through that, what do they need to do to heal and recover from the addiction or the betrayal. So basically you have to get help and the problem is, you know, sometimes those counseling is expensive, which is why, you know, things like Be Broken are amazing for people to have out there.
Yeah. So I want to take a little sidebar question. And I'm going to ask you this question because I think it's going to help people like me. So, you know, when I hear the phrases, my truth, your truth, their truth, there's a sense in which I like a little red flag goes up in my head because I come from an understanding of like, hey, listen, truth is objective. Like there's a sense in which truth is true, whether anybody agrees with it, whether you think it's right or wrong. So help us. I know that that's a sort of common vernacular term that's being used nowadays, but I think it can also be skewed in many ways. And it might cause confusion, maybe even for some of our listeners and viewers. And I'd hate for them to like pounce on you and be like, oh my goodness, this whack job Carla is talking about my truth when truth is always objective. Can you help us just understand what you're really meaning when you use those terms? Because I think they do help actually in a lot of what we're talking about here in communication and in maybe a therapeutic environment, but some people might be triggered by just that phraseology.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about building intimacy by understanding each other and what's going on, whether it is, if I don't agree with you, that doesn't mean that that wasn't true or isn't true for you. If I say, I'm struggling or I felt this and the other person was like, well, I felt this and I don't think you should feel that. How can one person tell another person that's not how you should feel or that's not how you feel? That's invalidation of somebody's emotions. That's invalidation of somebody's experience, of somebody's perception. So it doesn't mean I'm not telling you what's true for you. I'm not telling you what you experienced, and you're not telling me what I experienced or what I feel or what I need. I'm telling you what is true in those things for me. So a partner could say, I was really struggling in our marriage. And the spouse might say, well, our marriage was fine. We weren't having a problem when you started this. We were doing great. Well, I wasn't. I was in pain. Mm-hmm. I was struggling. I felt like you weren't listening. Well, I was available. I was there. Like I was raising the kids. I was working really hard. I was doing everything I needed to do. I thought you were being honest with me. I thought everything was fine. Well, it wasn't really fine for me. Do you see how that works?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And so that's what I think is important to clarify because that's where all those disagreements come from. You've got two people that are observing the same circumstance and the same relationship, and they are coming at it with completely different experiences and perspectives. And what I'm hearing you say as we talk about this idea of how do you speak the truth in love to one another is you say, I've got to be able to reveal my experience. You've got to be able to reveal your experience. And wherever there are those differences, we need to connect in love. We need to be able to say, I want to be curious about what that was like for you. I want to be curious about what that was like for you. And then again, the goal is healing. So what are some more maybe practical tips as couples move through this for really doing this well and really achieving the goal of healing?
If you can come together and have basically a game plan, a contract, an agreement, call it whatever it is, a strategy where you sit down and you say, this, and there's a lot of things out there that you can look up. You know, there's all kinds of things. Some say, okay, for 5 minutes, I'm going to talk and you don't interrupt me and I'm going to hold the ball or the apple or whatever it is. And then I'm going to hand it back to you and you get to speak. You can do that. You can do something where you say, I'm going to say what I need to say. You restate it to where you're being able to tell me what you thought what you heard me say, which could be different by the time you filter it. And then I'm going to clarify. And then you're going to say something that's empathizing. And then then you get to say how, you know, what your response is or your truth is. back to me. I mean, you whatever it is, you have a game plan. Is it going to be, we sit down one time a day, we talk only in our counselor. At the beginning, it might be we only talk in the therapist's office. Some couples literally will write in a journal back and forth to each other as they're trying to discover truth or what's going on, because you don't have that instant emotional reactivity. You don't have to see your partner's response if it's really reactive. Some will say that there's maybe a 15 minutes every day where we're going to talk about what's going on with us, but then we're going to stop, and the rest of the day we're not going to. We're just going to do life, whatever that is. You need to have literally sit down and create an agreement where this is our communication agreement. Put your goals. Our goal is to heal our relationship. And you might even identify, maybe even with a counselor or on your own, if you're, you know, aware of them, what are the hurdles that you're going to have to overcome? What are the common mistakes you get into? What is our agreement for timeouts? Each person can call a timeout. This is all I can handle. But what is the agreement to come back to that conversation? There's all kinds of things you can do. But if you have a agreed upon plan, then you can even call each other like, uh-oh, remember, we said that we were going to handle that this way. This isn't our time to talk. Like, then you're not going to get all these, you know, comments or truth out of left field when you're like frazzled in the middle of just walking in the door or just about ready to go to sleep or handling the kids or maybe at the dinner table, not the best time. You want to have some type of normalcy where you can sit and have a conversation instead of feeling like at any time somebody's going to say something that's going to be really heavy and hard.
Now, in the last few minutes, I want to kind of bring it back full circle to what we said at the very beginning, that, you know, this phrase, speak the truth in love, came from Scripture. And we know that truth and love are ultimately rooted in Jesus Christ. How important is it for couples, both spouses, to really remain grounded in the truth and the love of Christ? How does the gospel come to bear on these conversations? Why is it so important that both spouses really remain rooted in His truth and His love?
Well, first of all, anybody, whether you're saved or not, is going to struggle with this type of relationship problem and have to deal with the same things. But when we have the Holy Spirit and we have the love of God in us and we stay connected to that source and we have the fruit of the Spirit, it becomes so much easier. And I have heard, you know, I deal mostly with the women, but I have worked with some men and couples. But when I talk to women and they are rooted in the love of God and they know their worth in God, because the worth is not, that's another topic we could do. It's talking about self-worth and how betrayal affects that. But when they are rooted in the love of God and their value, and they know that reactivity goes down, the defensiveness goes down, they feel that love. It is so much easier when the husband feels the love of God, knowing I have forgiveness, I have that love that, you know, my Father that is on my side and not against me, and I am forgiven, and there is hope and there is healing. Right there, that puts you in so much of a calmer, connected, whole state than just being frazzled from the effect of the betrayal and the problem in your relationship.
Yeah, it really provides a firm foundation for both spouses so that when they feel triggered or reactive or whatever, like you said, they can go, you know what? I know the truth of how my Father in heaven sees me. And exactly. I can respond in a way that's curious. I can actually say, you know what? I'm feeling kind of angry right now. I'm feeling doubtful. I'm feeling shame, whatever, but I don't have to then say, you always do this. You say, you know, exactly. And so Carla, this has been as always, a wonderful conversation. I want to ask you to just maybe give a word of hope to those couples who they've been feeling like they've been flapping in the wind. They feel like they have been misfiring with each other. They feel like they've done everything that you mentioned in this podcast that what you said was not a good idea. And so they just may feel discouraged. What would you want to say to those couples who are really, their goal is healing, but they're really struggling right now?
You have to have compassion toward yourself and toward your spouse. This is a really tough thing to deal with. And being hard and harsh and on yourself and your spouse does not work. You've got to just say, hey, we get it. This is difficult. We're trying. Our motive is good, but there's a lot going on. Forgive yourself, forgive your spouse. And I don't mean like instantly forgive, but have that compassion, have that empathy, and just say, hey, it's a new day. I remember the time I spent in 12-step, it would say any 24-hour, we did one day at a time, and any 24-hour period starts a new day. So you don't have to feel like we ruined the day. It's like, no, let's start a new 24 hours right now. Let's start fresh and let's say, let's try again. Just give yourself grace, 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 grace.
That's so good. Well, Carla, as always, this has been good. Where can our viewers and listeners go to learn more about you and your resources?
Yeah, it's just changemyrelationship.com. It has my classes, which I have for 10 steps for dealing with a difficult relationship or dealing with a dysfunctional marriage. I also have a class on self-worth. That's truth in the mirror, which is looking at your own self-image, boundaries. So I have classes. I have videos on YouTube. I have a podcast, and it's all linked on my website.
Yeah. Well, thank you again, Carla, for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jonathan. I look forward to the next time.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we are going to post Carla's information and all those resources in our show notes. So be sure to check those out. And, you know, if you are struggling and you're saying, we don't know what our next best step is, please reach out to us, because that's what we want to do, is help you take your next best step to experiencing wholeness in Christ. And so we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.